You're listening to Short Track America.
I'm Anthony Campy, driver of the number 81 Waterside Realty Royalties Fast Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Hey!
We're all tangled up, but we made it.
Real Racing USA. We're live on the air at the Snook River Grill.
2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful southern Tampa Bay.
It's Manatee County, man. Come on, it's Manatee County.
Oh, look, look at him doing the flip-flop on us.
Yeah, now he's going to do it.
It's my job.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, it's amazing here. We have Lupin Leroy Davidson sitting in the back of the room, and he's like within about 8 feet of the Don, John Sapper.
The King.
John Sapper, huh?
How do we get them on the same night?
Works out that way sometimes.
This is
definitely an odd night tonight.
Yeah, we're under stress.
You guys have been listening to us getting ready to do this.
We've had nicer, easier going. Yeah. Last week we thought was pretty bad.
Yeah, and it was really good.
Even worse. So we'll hopefully have a decent stream for you in the end. And if you if it's coming in really, really bad, don't call us up and complain. We're still working on it.
Don't forget, you can get on your message board. We've got Karnak up. We've got Charlotte County up. DeSoto's up. Citrus County's up. If you've got a question for any of our guests, just post them on the message board, or you mail them to realracingusa@yahoo.com. Got some real quick news, Jack. The rickshaw race at DeSoto has been canceled, but the pig barbecue is still on.
The rickshaw race? What's the rickshaw race?
Well, you didn't see that. There was something on somewhere else.
No, I missed that. Was there a rickshaw race?
Yeah, there was a rickshaw race supposedly scheduled at DeSoto, but they canceled it. But the pig barbecue is
still on. You know
what's
wrong is I haven't had enough coffee.
Not enough coffee. Also,
we got Bill Hunt in the house here. He's videotaping us. That's another scary thought.
That's a real scary. You using real tape on that, Bill? Bill's.
They got an $8,000 machine over there doing all this. Look at that red light blinking.
It's blinking. That's scary.
Hey, bro.
Hey, the rules for Frank Kimmel's bomber race is online.
Oh, they're up?
Oh, yeah, they're up online.
Is that the one at Kentucky Motor Speedway?
$10,000 to win. FrankKimmel.com. He's still saying he's going to start 300 cars.
You know, I had all kinds of things to talk about here, and I totally lost track of what I was doing.
Well, we can talk about Tony Stewart.
You know, we have a sprint car champion with us tonight.
Yes, we do.
Dakota Stevens.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Next week, we're going to have some other champions, too. Next week.
Blew that Tony Stewart right off the board, didn't
Tony
you?
Who?
Tony, that guy, Tony, that won two in a row.
Oh, that's the one they're going to change the rules for?
Yeah, they're going to change the rules so Tony
can Tony
race.
Stewart rule?
Yeah, Tony's just making a mockery of this, dog. championship hunt. Two in a row for old Tony. I bet Carol's happy, huh?
Yeah, no doubt.
Carol Wicks of KTKI Radio.
.com.
Those are our good friends over there.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
You remember...
they do a good job.
A couple weeks ago now, you talked about the conspiracy for Yoho to lose the Triple Crown.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And go ahead and tell us what happened, Jack. I mean, what happened? The first night at DeSoto, Yoho's primed and ready to win the Triple Crown.
Who was that guy? That guy, James Glover?
Glover
wrecked him on the back straight.
Back stretch.
And then last week, I think it was Jimmy Cope wrecked him.
He was going to win the Hoosier Cup All-American Challenge Series
this past
weekend.
No doubt about it.
Had the car. It was ready to go. The Dayton Andrews Q Auto and Injury Attorney Dodge Avenger was out there on the track.
Robert Yoho is the most underrated super late model racer in the state of Florida. There's no
Ask Jimmy Cope. Jimmy was telling him that right after the wreck.
Is that what he told him?
I'm pretty sure. He was in his window. And, yeah, he was.
What a great driver he was, and he was just happy to be on the track with Robert Yoho.
Right, and he said, and I think Jimmy said, just drop the car off Monday. We'll take care of it.
Send you the bill.
Robert's going to come repossess somebody's car. We keep this.
So where are you going with this, Rick?
He may not.
We're
giving it to him.
Next week we're going to have a couple other champions. So we're going to have Rich Clouser, who won the Goodyear Challenge Series Late Model Championship for the second year in a row.
No doubt.
From Orlando, Rich Clouser. And we're going to have, I'm told, Steve Gainey's
the wild man.
Steve Gainey and Gus Corsi are going to be here with us. Absolutely.
They don't have enough beer in the house for that. Uh-oh,
hey,
Bill's going to mess with something.
Bill, did you drink some coffee or something?
You want me to tell
no, I don't want you to talk to us.
Just stop.
You just do what you're doing. I think we're going to have the Alligator Man Lee Collins
the
with
difference between
the Alligator Man Lee Collins.
1600 is our problem.
Very good.
Oh, very good, Bill.
That's very good, Bill.
Yeah. Real quick.
I thought it was the difference between 51 and 57.
Some news about the bus race. Did you read that, Jack? The official Florida Highway Patrol report?
No.
About the bus race?
No, I knew it was out, but
the sheriff was not wearing his seatbelts.
That's in the official report.
Based on the totality of the evidence examined in this case, the FHP investigators have concluded that the seatbelt in Sheriff Daniels' bus was not in use at the time of the collision.
Do you know that someone on the phone with my wife about 1 o'clock in the morning said the exact same thing? Said when they walked up to that bus running out on the track to help out, they saw that belt was not being used.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's how they got that information, was from some of the people who were there. But
what else you got,
that's
Jack?
A shame.
Well, you know,
how can you? We're not going
to
talk.
Listen
about
to this. No, we can
continue.
Go ahead, Bill.
How could you wind up that way? Maybe it popped unloose, like you see car wrecks all the time. People talk about seatbelts flying off of people and doing things. Do you think that could have possibly happened? Was it a lockdown type? Was it a regular old seatbelt like a bus would have?
That's the question right there. Because
that's somebody we need to ask something about it, because we don't know nothing about it.
So
well, we will have somebody on later on this evening that may know something about that, right?
We will.
Terry Roberts?
Yep. Terry Roberts, going to talk to us about the Governor's Cup.
All right.
Yep.
We can give him a shout about that.
General manager at New Smyrna Speedway.
How about the short track, the bad stuff at short tracks now invading NASCAR again? Do you see that about Harvick and Riggs crewman have a run-in after the wreck this past Sunday?
A run-in?
Oh, yeah, they run in.
And
they knocked down Harvick's wife.
The big rumor on the Internet is that guy is gone.
What happened?
As of today, he will be
banned
from NASCAR. It's
apparently,
he gets banned from NASCAR.
Harvick's running for the points championship. Riggs is running for his first ever Winston Cup win, Nextel Cup win. John, you can tuck that shirt in, bro.
Tuck that shirt in. Yeah. Dress code. We do have a dress code around here.
He probably
just got done cutting the grass. But at the post-race incident, the guys from Scott Riggs' crew decided they want to take matters in their own hands, and they tripped Harvick's wife. And Harvick said, that is just a little bit unnecessary, so we're not happy about that.
Do you know it's always a scary thing when race car drivers take things into their own hands?
Take matters into their own
hands. Yeah, it gets scary. Yeah. I'll tell you something. We had an incident that happened over at Orlando Speed World. You know, now we got two promoters in this in here tonight with us. And, you know, these guys work, and they, you know, whether they agree about things or not, they work their butt off to try to make all this racing stuff work. And it's a tough road. I mean, you know, we talk about all the promotion, and it's hard to get this, and it's hard to get drivers and all this. You know, so it's an uphill battle. And then on top of it, we have incidents like happened at New Smyrna or at Orlando Speed World on Friday night. You have a state senator, a Florida state senator, who's taken time out of his busy schedule to go race his race car, which he gets to do maybe twice, three times a year. So he's out here racing with the boys at Orlando Speed World. The race is over. He's driving off the track. He gets rammed in the rear end by another driver who didn't like the way the race went. And then two or three race car drivers get out of their car and verbally accost him, assault him verbally, call him all kinds of names. I don't know if they knew who they were talking to or not. But, you know, it's like this guy just happens to be the best ambassador for Florida racing that we have in the political world. And you have a couple of guys who are completely out of control, acting like maniacs, giving racing a bad name, giving the whole sport a bad name, you know. And then you pile on top of that the number of youth that we have in racing, which everybody, like last week, everybody agreed that, you know, the future of racing is in the young people. I mean, this stuff is way more important to fix than some of the other stuff. I think the promoters, like, just need to put a grip on these people.
That was Bill Posey? Was that who was in the wreck?
Go figure.
And they didn't like the way Bill was racing?
Go figure.
Is that what you're saying?
Did anybody throw a helmet
what
at
kind of What class was this?
Classic cracker, classic.
How could a classic get mad at each other?
They were racing for $25,000 to win.
No, they weren't. $25 probably, but, I mean, they've
been trophies.
They've been racing together for 8 years probably, or six or five.
Well, my point is this. It's like when people go berserk on the racetrack and, like, show their butt, you never know who's watching, you know? And it's like, I don't know, it just seems like real-time sponsors may not, like, I mean, a little controversy is one thing, but, like, you know, calling a guy names and verbally doing everything, but, you know, kind of
stupid. So what you're saying is if you're racing a senator, don't ram him.
Well, I don't think you should be a jerk anyway, you know. I mean, I just don't. We'll ask Leroy about this. He's got a special way to deal with that stuff. We'll ask him about it. I'm sure you want to know.
What happened to the message board last night, John?
I got mad at everybody. I said, I'm going to delete everything.
Somebody told me that.
Nah, we just had a meltdown. I don't know what happened. It's a computer problem.
I called him.
It was Bill's fault, wasn't it?
That was it.
No, we had several problems. We had problems. Yeah, we've been still having problems. Technical.
I was the first one to find it, I think, or to run up on it trying to do some work.
There were some tremors in the force.
Oh.
John Birdie time?
John Birdie time? A little early yet.
Oh, man.
We got in the house,
don't
please.
Even.
Well, we got Leroy Davidson, John Sappergone sitting back there. I don't know if we can keep them apart or not.
Trust me, it's not
we
John
got Dakota
Birdie
Stevens.
Time.
We got David Wilson. This kid working with the other guy. What is he, the king of the short track?
The king of the short track, the junior.
Okay. Yeah.
It is John Birdie time.
Yeah, it is John Birdie time? Oh, it's John Birdie time.
Minutes from Mr. Excitement, Mr. Excitement, Mr. Excitement.
This is John Birdie with Mr. Excitement's 3 Minutes of Fame. Tony Stewart picked up where he left off last week with another dominating performance in a Dickies 500 NASCAR Nextel Cup race at Texas Motor Speedway Sunday. Jimmy Johnson has taken over the point lead from Matt Kenseth in the chase for the Nextel Cup by a margin of 17 points. Matt Hirschman from Northampton, Pennsylvania, extended the North's domination of the North-South shootout at Concord Motorsports Park in Concord, North Carolina, taking down the win in the fourth annual Hoosier Modified 100 Saturday night. World of Outlaws late model standout Dale McDowell benefited from the misfortunes of Shane Clanton, who lost a left rear wheel after leading 93 laps of the $30,000 to win 32nd annual National 100 at East Alabama Motor Speedway Sunday night. Eric Beers won the 2006 Race of Champions finale at Mahoning Valley Speedway in Lehighton, Pennsylvania, Saturday afternoon. Beers led all 100 laps of the $3,500 to win Race of Champions Asphalt Modified Race. Earl Pauls came away with the overall series championship. More details on these stories and many, many more are available at Karnak.com, Southern Short Track News. Until next week, this is John Berti, hoping that you support your favorite local track with your attendance this weekend.
That was this week's Short Track Minute from Mr. Excitement, John Birdie.
And that was brought to you by our good friends at Evergreen Development and Construction Company, as they have jumped on board and started helping us out. We appreciate them coming on board. Anybody got some land clearing out there you need to do? Give me a call. I got a great guy.
We sell cars.
Good job.
We clear land and sell cars.
That's right, buddy.
We'll build you a car lot.
When they clear land, they don't just knock the trees out of the way. They build the ditches, drive the roads down for you. They lay it all out for you. Put down the electrical, whatever else you need there. You want to make a 100 parking place?
Can they build us a racetrack?
No, but they can probably.
He's shaking his head.
Groundwork.
All right, they can build us a racetrack.
We'll get us a racetrack.
Let's find us some land and build us. We could live it out of the briefcase.
Because we know what we're doing.
That's right.
Yeah. He'll build everything but the stands and the buildings.
No, I pass.
Anyway.
So, Bill, what do you got over there? You got any news from this week, or are we ready to
tango here?
No,
we're not even ready to tango here, buddy. I'm jumping through a hoop that's bigger than me, and I'm stuck in it right this second.
Okay.
I guarantee
Made my headphones worse.
Okay.
Who we got sitting down with us?
So,
Some switches down there. We got to get them all wired up. They're actually sitting there in the microphones. You just got to turn them on, turn them off when you're not talking, kind of thing. And
okay, we ready?
I'm ready. Go.
Okay, we have with us Dakota Stevens, who's a sprint car racer. Dakota, how old are you?
I'm 15 years old.
15?
Yes.
And you just won a championship?
That's correct. We had a great season this year.
He doesn't sound turned on to me, guys.
Say what?
Talk to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's not coming through at all that I can hear. Change the microphone, please, real quick with him, and we'll work on that microphone.
Okay, go ahead.
Sound better?
There we go.
Okay. Yeah, and Dad's Davey?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, cool. How are we doing there, Bill?
We're still not.
Okay, don't worry about it. We'll just use this one.
Once again,
so which series did you race in, Dakota?
The Florida Sprint Car Association Series. It's pretty much outlaw sprint cars in South Georgia and North Florida.
Yeah.
And actually, we're racing a race at Putnam this weekend for a 1500 to win. Come up and watch.
Putnam County. Have you raced there before?
Three times this year and a couple times last year.
Yeah. You race a lot at North Florida Speedway, right?
Pretty much about 10 times this year.
Yeah. How many features did you win?
I got three there, and out of 10 races there.
So you ran 10 races, you won three of them?
Correct.
Man. So, now, what did you do? Is this your first year, full year in sprint cars, or did you do this last year, too?
We ran United Sprints Association last year, the USA Sprints in Florida.
Oh, is that okay? You raced some on asphalt and some on dirt?
Correct.
Yeah. How did you do with that? I mean, did you race the whole year? Or?
We missed a couple races, but we ended up sixth in the points.
Oh, okay. How did you come about that you're racing in sprint cars?
Well, we started in go-karts. So actually, he started racing when he was in his younger days. But
he being your dad over there.
Well, we ran go-karts, yard carts around our house, and then we finally got up into racing against other people at the track at Dirt Devil Speedway.
Wait, yard carts. I think I heard this phrase just recently. Is this like you just get go-karts and you go out and race around the house?
More like the neighborhood. We ran around circles on our street.
Then you don't get like the local sheriffs coming down or nothing?
We tried to outrun them.
Okay. So then you went to what was the first organized thing? You did go-karts?
Well, we ran a novice class at Dirt Devil Speedway, and we moved up the purple plate and blue plate, and in 2002 I captured the state title, Junior Sportsman 2 Light and Heavy that year.
So what is it? Why did you go to sprint cars as opposed to like some other kind of?
Well, when we got out of go-karts, we thought it had the steepest learning curve over like late models or something. I mean, we looked at everything, and we thought the sprint cars have the steepest learning curve to get up in NASCAR.
Oh, okay. So you just go to the thing that's the hardest. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the fastest and the hardest and most car control.
You know, these guys are always talking about speed, Bill.
I understand. And I'm trying to equate, because there's a lot of guys who have gone through sprint cars to get to NASCAR, but yet there's a whole lot more that have come off of the asphalt ovals and so forth.
Yeah, but the best one came through sprints.
Well, maybe. It
the one they're going
to change. The one this weekend.
That's right. That's right.
Dale Earnhardt did a lot of dirt racing, yes, but I don't think it was through sprint cars.
We're talking present time, Bill. Present time.
I'm just saying that in the big picture, though, I would think that most of the guys that are running NASCAR, very few of them, maybe five, pass through dirt sprint cars.
Asphalt will come later. Just go give it to them.
How much is in the cup right now? I mean, you got Case Kane. Tony Stewart's won all the races, but he just barely missed it.
Dirt.
Come on, Bill.
Come on, Bill.
He's talking to you.
I heard him.
Okay, so you win that argument.
So what are you going to do next year? What's the plan? I mean, how are you going to follow up?
Well, right now we're building a car for the Winter Nationals at East Bay for the 360 Nationals, and we might run Volusia, maybe not. We don't know yet. But we also have a modified guy who's interested in running the Nationals next year, and that sounds like a bunch of fun.
Have you run at East Bay before?
Well, actually, last Friday I ran my first race there.
That's right. I saw your name in the list. That's right, yeah.
We practiced a lot there, but I finally got my first race in. We finished fourth. It was a fun experience.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was where?
East Bay,
yeah.
So he said he's building a car for the Winter Nationals at East Bay.
360?
Yeah.
Any plans on pavement racing?
We're building a TBRA car, but it's in the process. We don't know about next year, but we have a chassis, that's about it.
Have you done any pavement racing?
Oh, last year all we did most of the year was pavement. But
we ran a USCS or not USCS, a USA sprint car series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. So, what kind of reaction you get from
kids at school?
Hey, Bill, you got a microphone.
Bill, I'm asking the questions right now, okay?
I was just helping you.
Okay, Bill.
It's about time you asked the questions.
Good grief. So, what kind of reaction you get from the older folks that you're racing against? I mean, the guys in like 25, you know, the old guys.
I hope they approve. I don't know. I try to be nice to everybody. I try to help them when their cars broke down, it's just a fun thing, and we try to. I mean, Otto, he's 65. He runs the series, and I go and talk to him every week. I mean, it's just a fun experience with him.
Who's that?
Who's Otto?
Otto Scrape.
Yeah.
Runs the FSCA series.
So the Scrape family's been around for a while, racing sprint cars up in northern Florida,
Georgia.
Yeah.
So where else did you race besides North Florida and Putnam?
We ran in Douglas, Georgia, and we were supposed to run a race up in Savannah, Georgia, but that got canceled about midway through the season this year.
Any difference between the tracks up in Georgia and down in Florida?
The clay. The clay is much tackier. It's much redder. It's just that Georgia clay.
Tracks are bigger?
Yeah, it's a half-mile track.
Yeah. So give that
flat out, right?
Foot to the floor.
There you go, man.
So, Davey, are you guys having fun with this?
Oh, having a blast.
Yeah. But
Does he keep the equipment pretty much in one piece most of the time? I haven't been able to see too many of those races this year.
Knock on wood. This year he flipped the car in practice, but he come back down on his wheels, didn't hurt anything but the top wing, and that's been our worst wreck this year.
Come back, finished second that night with our buddy's wing.
So what happened that you flipped?
Well, it was just practice. I mean, I was checking
who'd
the car.
Hit? Who'd you hit the car? You had to hit somebody. No.
Was Gene Lasker in that race?
No.
No, thank God.
I just got in the corner too hot, and I was trying to figure out what the car was going to work best, and I hit a giant rut, and the track was real wet, real bumpy, just turned me right into the wall. Hit the tires and just bounced me up and then back over, and I never even stopped. I mean, the sprint cars don't even have transmissions. Didn't knock it out of gear, nothing. I just drove it back to the pit.
So you planned, when will you be 16?
Next September.
Okay, so you just turned 15.
Wow.
So
when you go to East Bay, you plan on running a bunch of those races, or what do you think?
Mostly, I'm hoping to run ASCS. maybe some
races. No, I mean Winter Nationals.
Yes. 360s, most likely. And we're definitely running a Ford.
Yeah, take that thing away from him. He's worse than me.
What?
Who are the two young kids? But now are like grown. Danny
Martin Jr.
Yeah.
And
he was at East Bay this weekend.
Right. Danny's always at East Bay usually.
Well, yeah, but
who was the other? Same time. Come on.
Greg Casey Johnson.
Johnson.
Was really
Casey Johnson.
So those two kids, they were racing there 14, 15, right?
Right. Right.
No, the sport was when he was.
Yeah, 13.
12 years and 9 months, I think.
12 years, nine. Yeah, he was.
Sport run the Friday race at the Fall Brawl at East Bay.
Yep. Yeah, he won it, and then he got tangled up with, come on, help me out, Tom Weingartner Sr.
Yeah.
And that's where Paulie Milam slid into him or something. And
yeah, but those guys went out there when they were about your age, and they did pretty good. They, you know, they.
There was another guy that ran out there at about his, a little younger than him. There was another guy that ran out there a little younger, Jeff Gordon.
Jeff, oh, that's the guy Don Rome threw out.
Yeah, yeah. Don Rome threw out.
There's another sprint car guy in the chase.
Yep.
Another one.
Thank you.
Keep digging.
You know what my theory is?
He's gotten the four.
Is that, you know, them guys are going like, I mean, like you're going wide open and it's so fast and you're going like so fast. And you get out there with them other guys, it's like.
I'll give you Casey Kane, too, but he owns the sprint car. He's never driven it.
And Jeff Choquette, you know, in the late model, he raced late model dirt, and then he went out there first time in asphalt, psh, burned him.
All right.
He shot
nice
everybody.
Music there, Jack.
All right, are we going to commercial? Actually, I think
Jeff
we
told
did.
Me that if they ever open Hendry County Speedway back up, he's going to run a late model there on a regular basis.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think if we go, we'll come back a lot better.
Okay, let's go, and then we'll come back. And you guys, just stay here just a second. We're going to come back. Where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going?
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun. McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Paulie Milam, driver of the number 42 sprint car at East Bay and TBARA. You're listening to Short Track America with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. And it's a unique disease. It's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run a mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup, adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Don't clear your throat now. You're live on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Real Racing USA as we have fixed the bug.
Yeah, anyway. I can hear myself now.
Anyway, we're sitting here talking sprint car racing, but calling in on the line to talk a little bit, I'm sure, about his promotional things that are going on. Rick Bristol.
Yeah, we'll get to hang on.
I was going to do exactly that, okay. But you will not allow me to finish talking. Rick, I just want to let you know we got you up on the air, but we're going to finish up real quick with the young man we're talking to, okay?
That's fine. Yes, sir.
Appreciate it, buddy.
You don't have no choice.
Yeah, well, that's
just sit there and wait. Just sit there and wait.
Don't talk to the Reverend like that.
You can hear us. I'm going to turn it down just a little bit so we don't hear you cough and choke and carry on. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so now what championship are you going to win next year? That's what we want to know. Okay, let's
put World of Outlaws, right? You're going to go World Outlaws, win that.
Man, that's a dream, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I want to win the Winter Nationals. That's my goal right now. I mean, we ran an East Bay Fun setup. I mean, we're just trying to get ready for East Bay Winter Nationals. That would be a dream to win that.
Wants to be the king of
well,
the
you know what
60s.
You need to do? You need to get some confidence here.
Yeah, that's
I think you're really good. You're getting off on the wrong foot. You need to go to McAllister.
Listen, I'll tell you what. No, this is no kidding. During the course of this year, early in the year, you know, I get these reports, and I don't necessarily read them all, but I see all these race reports going through, and this name just stands out, Dakota Stevens. I mean, you got the right name, man. It just that's a cool name, Dakota.
Especially if you, can
if
make
you really want to hear the story behind that, they named me because of that. They named me that name because they were thinking. It sound good over the intercom, the NASCAR intercom.
On that note,
I don't want to know where this kid was conceived. I don't want to know.
I was thinking Dodge Dakota, but I don't think they were around back then yet.
Thanks for spending some time with us, and very good luck in the future, man.
No problem, man.
We appreciate you dropping by.
Who's your website? Before you leave, who's your sponsors, and you got a website and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, DakotaStevens.com, DakotaStephens. Now I want to thank Zinc Motorsports with Kevin and Tim. And then Tom Macaluso with Better Leather and All Steam Supply.
Where's your next race, Dakota?
Putnam County, Saturday night.
All right, man. Cool. You guys up in Putnam County.
Thank you,
everybody. Dakota's all right. Coming.
All right, ladies, you know where he's headed. Go to Putnam. We'll see him there.
All right, Dakota. Great job, brother.
Thanks, buddy. Turn them mics off so we don't have to hear Jack burping around over there. All right,
we
Rick.
We hear that anyway.
I know. All right, Rick Bristol, ladies and gentlemen, joining us from Parts Unknown. Rick, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are you tonight?
Hey, we are great now. We are really, I'm kind of kicked back.
All right, Rick,
at this
Rick
point.
You got your 2 minutes of fame. What's up with the race?
2 minutes of fame, Jack? Yeah, only you could fill 2 minutes of fame, buddy. We're just working hard. We're trying to make some final push for some advertisement. Some people trying to help us out with that. That's our big need right now is just to get some advertisement, get the word out. We also hope to have an announcement tonight on a cup driver that's coming, but we're gonna have to wait. We just didn't get the final agreement yet, but this could be huge. Could be a huge deal for
them. Now you still have David Rudeman coming, or is that had changed?
Yes, sir. We still got David Rudeman and David Starr coming.
Okay.
And this would be a very popular cup driver that could do a lot for what kind of attention we can get for this thing. So we're hoping to hopefully have that down locked down maybe tomorrow.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Well, I know you've put an awful lot of effort into this. You're always trying to get more people involved to help you put the word out and stuff. All right, have you gotten a very good response on the folks that would take flyers around, maybe help out in the local area of the track itself?
We've gotten some. I've gotten some volunteers to do that. I've gotten some people that have taken them to some of their area around their homes and businesses that have started putting them up and stuff. I've got some help from Aaron's. They're going to be distributing them through their stores. I've got a couple other possibilities of some other places that'll do that same thing. So we're working on that. And then we got those Buckethead Racing guys. They're going to be down at Homestead, and they're going to be pushing this thing big. They're going to have it on their T-shirts. They got like 500 shirts they're taking down there. And they're going to try to get some attention, on the Speed Channel while they're down there.
Well, that's good. I had a couple of ideas. I didn't know if maybe you could get to Orlando to work with you. I'm sure maybe you could. But maybe you could get some of the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts involved to take those door-to-door or out in the public at Publix or whatever.
I did try that. I tried to get a hold of a couple of groups. The problem is they got a lot of fundraising stuff already going on.
Oh.
And they're just, you know, they're in the middle of stuff for their Thanksgiving drives and stuff like that. So they just haven't, they just don't have the time to really put as much attention to it as we had hoped. But, that's originally what I planned, between them, schools and, church teen groups and stuff like that. But, it's a busy season, this last month and, you know, before the holidays. So, a lot of them are kind of tied up with that. But, we're getting them out there. We'll get some volunteers. We'll get them out there. I've got some mailing stuff, that we're trying to work on and all that. And we're just going to push right down to the end with whatever commercials we can get, whatever TV stations will give us a little bit of time here coming up. I had the opportunity to talk to a couple today, and I think we're going to get some stuff on there. And then we're working on buying some advertising. But I just don't have a budget. Some of it's coming out of my own pocket, and then I've got some people that call me today that are willing to buy some commercials. So if you can buy two, if you can buy four, if you can buy, you know, if your business can buy more, then that'll help. We'll get it. We're pushing hard.
All right, man. We, of course, wish you all the best with it. We'll do anything we can from this end with the media and Karnak.com, Short Track America, Saturday Night Live After the Races, and Real Racing USA to put the word out.
Hey, Rick, what date is the race?
It's December 8th and 9th, Friday night. Just qualifying stuff. The big deal is all on Saturday. The driver autograph session with David and David will be at 5:30 to 6:30. If we get this Cup driver, he's actually going to be participating in the race, which will be kind of cool.
He's going to drive one of the trucks?
Yep.
Well, that'd be kind of neat.
That's the plan.
Well, can't we find a truck for David Rudeman, too? Heck, that'd probably be easy.
Well, the problem with them is they, I already had talked to them both about it, but they have obligations tied into the banquet the next day.
Oh.
They have to be at some appearances and stuff. So
can't wad a truck up. Okay.
Yeah, well, they don't have time to wad a truck up, right? They're going to pull out of their time, you know, to run over there and sign autographs for about an hour. That's about the best we could work out with both of them at the same time.
That's pretty good.
That's great. You know, we appreciate that a whole much, you know, a bunch for these to take time and come. We really appreciate it. And, you know, we'll look forward to it. I got an email today from Larry McReynolds.
Cool.
And he's going to be sending down some stuff and gathering up some stuff from the other guys on Trackside and some other people you can get a hold of, send stuff down for the celebrity auction on Friday night, and also things are happening. You know, it's crunch time, and I'm doing a lot of this on my own, so my cell phone's about, you know, burned up. So we'll just keep working at it.
All right, man. You keep at it. We'll keep at it too. And I'm sure I can find a few products. I know there's a couple of hoods and things tucked away that we might be able to sneak out and get.
Well, whatever you got, we can use it. We're planning to do it Friday night. Depending on how things go, we could move that to Saturday night, depending on, you know, the amount of people and all that stuff. We want to get the best, you know, deal we can out of it. So we're going to play that by ear.
All right, man.
We'll talk to you again in about probably a week or two.
All right, Jack. I appreciate it. Again, I appreciate all your work of updating the website. And all the lap sponsors laps are now sold. They're all up on there. Our awards are all set. We may have a couple more bonus money for the for the purses and all, but I think we're pretty much set on that. We're just trying to get this advertisement down.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Rick Bristol, ladies and gentlemen, and the Hopkins Family Memorial Race coming up at Orlando Speed World December 8th and 9th.
And, Bill, without further ado.
Let's go right across the table here. We're going to grab another one of the young guns who's actually getting to be middle age, I guess, for what racing he's doing. Patrick Staropoli. How you doing, buddy?
Who are you talking to?
Oh,
this is David Wilson.
David, I'm sorry, buddy. David Wilson. I got three things going at once. I did it.
See, every time we get this guy multitasking, he goes off the deep end.
I told you that, but you threw it to me, and I'm trying to do six things at once.
No, it's six. He went from three to six. He's doubled his
what
output.
What were we talking about? To-do list?
To-do.
To-do list, Bill. I'm telling you, you got to have
we
to-do
got David
list.
Wilson sitting with us. He is the hot shoe right now in the super late model class.
David.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah, you're doing a great job out there, man.
Thank you. It's definitely a big learning curve, and we're running with some of the toughest guys in super late models in Florida every single week there at DeSoto Super Speedway, so it's really good learning.
Well, that's the key word, though, that you're running with these guys. I mean, you're not in the back of the field. You're not, just running around the track getting lapped. I mean, you're right there in it every race.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to back up a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say,
at Lakeland, you raced in the Hooters Pro Cup race. Is that correct?
Correct. That's correct.
You did okay in that.
Yeah, we were up to 15th, and then we decided to pit, and we put a lap down because we didn't keep a close eye on the pace car. And troubles just went from there, but we were doing all right. We didn't end up finishing the race, but I think we were two laps down, and we were running with the fifth place and fourth place car.
Yeah, so. I thought you did okay for it. That was your first time racing with those guys, right?
Well, it was our fourth race, but... it was our best run so far.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought you did okay with
that. Not bad.
It was
pretty cool.
At what point did you decide to jump out of the truck and get into the late model pretty much altogether?
We just decided to jump into the Supers because the trucks just, after the second year in the trucks and the banquet, we just decided to move on and keep going and just not get stuck in one place for too long and waste too much time running in one place. So we decided to get into faster and better things, I think.
Well, I tell you, I know that from seeing a few of the results and stuff, you've had some good results and so forth. Are you finding it more difficult to keep the fenders on the car as opposed to the truck, or is it about the same, just a little bit of weight difference, maybe horsepower?
Well, in the truck, you could definitely beat and bang a little more. And the Supers, they're extremely fragile, and one hit could knock your toe out, and you're pretty much, you go backwards from there.
Is it a lot easier to get turned around, so to speak? Somebody does bump into you. I mean, those are so heavy. Running the edge most.
Where, in the trucks?
No, in the late models.
Oh, in the late models? Well, they're actually lighter than the trucks.
Is it?
Yes, and I like them better. They got 10-inch tires and really, really responsive on the steering. So unlike the truck tires that were only 8-inch, those were real, like, bike tires. And on these tires, they stick real good, so.
Cool.
Now, you've been working with Dick Anderson most of this year, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
He's definitely brought our program.
What effects of that has that had, like, on you and your racing deal?
With the knowledge that Junior Purcell and Dick Anderson give me, I swear it's cut our learning curve by 2 or 3 years. I mean, having both them on the radio during a race telling
that's almost
what to watch
cheating,
out for.
Ain't it?
Well, if Junior's under the hood, there's a gray area there already.
progressive.
Don't pay attention to that.
I like Junior. Junior's all right.
So what effects has it had working with Dick on you personally as a race car driver?
I think it's helped quite a bit. I mean, he's definitely rough on me. You know, he doesn't take any mistakes. You know,
give me an example.
Like, I remember we had a brake problem, and I was having trouble distinguishing if it was the front or the rear. Because this is our first year, and, you know, we've only been racing oval for about 2.5 years. And I was having trouble distinguishing which, like, front or rear. And he tells me, how the hell can you not know where it's coming from? And he walks in the trailer. And I was like, I'm sorry, Dick.
Yeah, well, sometimes he gets a little frustrated. But I'm sure he's got a great wealth of knowledge to pass on at times.
Oh yeah,
can
definitely.
Just be surprising.
Yeah.
And what kind of things has he told you that you got in the car and you kind of went back out and went, you know, there's no way that'll work, and then it worked?
Tell you to put your shocks in upside down yet?
No.
Wait.
I remember once he was telling me I wasn't going in quite hard enough into a corner, and I was like, I don't think it'll stick any further. And I threw it in there, it felt unreal, you know. Now I'd listen. If he told me to wreck that car, I'd wreck it because he'd have a reason. He said turning on his roof, it'd be on his roof.
Yeah, he's quite the pilot. But you're coming along yourself. I mean,
thank you.
You always had some really great races, and you always managed to keep the trucks in one piece. And I'm sure you're doing the same with the late models. Is that something that you just kind of like picked up really quick, or is it something that you had to work at because you may have torn something up that I don't know about?
What, keeping the car together?
Yeah.
It's not really, as long as you drive using your head, you really don't tear up that much bodywork.
Cool.
Sometimes you can't help other actions and of other drivers, and sometimes you mess up yourself, but most of the time.
What's the maddest you ever been on the track?
You can name names.
No.
They're in a different series now.
You don't have to race with them names out there.
I don't really. I haven't really gotten mad that much this year.
You know who you
got
to stay away from?
I got rid of my temper a long time ago because Junior and Dick told me that they showed their butts one day at a track and lost their bush rods. So they've really been on me about, you know, staying.
Those two guys, right there can tell you about tempers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took a while for
I can tell you I've seen
for both of them to mellow a little bit. Well, that's pretty cool. What kind of futuristic things are you thinking about another year or so in late March?
We're going to have three cars next year. We're going to run the ASA Late Model Series, the Southern Division, I believe, maybe some Challenge Series. We're going to run the Sun Belt and DeSoto, and maybe a couple more Hooters Pro Cup races.
Three different cars. And is one of those cars only a Hooter car, and then one can go ASA or...
No, we're going to have three cars that can switch all between ASA and Super, just in case all you got to do is pull out the motor.
Wow.
Swap the motors.
That'll keep somebody busy. How'd you manage to compile this team, or is it still a lot of family and friends? Besides Junior and
Dick. It's just Dick and his crew from when he was racing, and Junior and myself and my dad.
Wow.
Which one of those traveling series is the one you're going to focus on the most, or is there not? It's just
we're going to focus mainly on the ASA and some about traveling series, which are the only two traveling series we're doing.
What is attractive about the ASA for you?
So
a lot of people seem to be
Dick said
looking that
to
way.
Run it, so that's what we're doing.
Dick said flip the car, we flip the
flip
car.
The
run the ASA, you run the ASA.
When Dick talks, people listen.
That's cool.
Well, I know that it's a long road to hoe to get to NASCAR and all these other things that people dream about, but it's pretty cool to get out there and continually over the last, you've been racing only about 2.5 years or so, to keep stepping up and getting a little better, get into better equipment, bigger equipment, faster equipment, and continue to have the success that you're having.
Yeah. I've always been real hard on myself on this stuff, and when my dad brought that to my attention, you know, what we've done in 2.5 years, you know, I've realized that.
There's a lot of kids sitting behind a desk at home doing their homework wishing they could do what you're doing.
I got to balance my homework and racing. It's tough sometimes.
Have you ever had the car pulled because you didn't make a grade or didn't?
No, I've always had A's and B's. I've missed more school this year than I have any other year because we've been racing a lot more. So I've had two B's this year, but the rest are still A's. So I think my GPA this year is like a 3.7 or 3.8. Last year was a 4.0.
So, David, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking, or a little bit later anyway, we're going to be talking to a buddy of yours, Patrick Starpoli.
That's correct. Patrick was one of my toughest competitors when we raced the trucks.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, which one of you is better? Okay.
Things are better.
I'll tell you him.
Okay. Who gets better grades?
I don't know what his grades are.
Okay.
He comes to the house sometimes when we race on NASCAR, and he wins more races, but in the end of the year...
Yeah,
I've been in the points. So.
Well, because you live in Sarasota, right? He lives all the
That's
way
great. He lives in Plantation.
He lives
Plantation
on the other side of the
right.
world over
yeah.
there. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, you guys are not in uniform. I can't tell you apart, apparently.
That's cool.
Well, we appreciate it, buddies. Thanks for stopping by. We hope that you have continued success, and see if you can't get that late model of the winner's circle, and we will more than certainly give you a phone call and talk to you about that first big win.
Phone call. He lives right down the street. We'll get him down here. David, who's
sponsors?
Who's on your car?
My dad, Wilson Excavators, for most 99% of it.
Hang on just a minute. Hold that thought. See now with his excavating.
We want to put the microphone up.
With his excavating company and his land development company.
We'll get that racetrack done.
We're going to get this done.
Yeah,
we just
got to
ask an asphalt guy. Somebody or some clay or something. You know?
I'll have to.
So who else sponsors your car?
Work on the asphalt.
Ferguson, they donate a little, and
I started to say.
And a little Italian pizza chef deli place.
Cool. Do you get to go eat pizza after the races?
Not yet, but I'm trying to work on that.
Cool. Do you do any exercises? Do you do any, like, race and
running?
I
went up to meet with a couple hookup teams in North Carolina. I met with Jack Bailey, and I was talking to him, and he got me on this. It's not really a workout, but I guess 3 days before you race, you're supposed to drink half your body weight in ounces every day. So even when I'm not racing, I've been doing that. I drink about, I'm 130 pounds. I drink about 8 or 9 bottles of water a day. And, man, you got to go for whenever you look at water. But, I mean, it has you feeling so much better, a lot more stamina. I actually think it makes you react quicker, too, because you're not tired and dreary.
Cool. But are you going to show up at the, are you going to be at the Lakeland Last Hooters race? Are you going to do that race?
No, we're not going to race that. You have to be in the points to race that.
I got you. Okay.
So, but we may just go and watch.
So when's your next time behind the wheel?
I can't say yet. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Somebody's got to know the schedule. Thanks, man, for coming by, though. We appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you.
Didn't mean to drag you all the way down the street and call you by the wrong name, but that's just me. Don't go away, folks. We'll be back after this with some more real racing news.
Because you got 12 things to do now.
Yeah, well, actually, we'll see if the 6 things I was doing are right.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. And it's a unique disease. It's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run the mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck. You're listening to Short Track America.
Welcome to the jungle, and welcome back to Real Racing USA as we go north to the northern jungles, the jungles of Florida, so to speak. The racetrack jungles known as New Smyrna Speedway, which is also the place where Terry Roberts has been hanging out and doing a fine job of promoting a track that is one of the premier tracks of the state. Terry, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing good, and I thank you for that introduction.
Well,
the fine smoke blowing.
And Terry stumble over it.
Yeah, he just stumbles his way through that stuff, Terry.
I understand. Yeah.
Terry, there's one really, really, really big race every year in Florida,
Asphalt Racing. And that's the Governor's Cup. We're on year number 41.
41.
Tell us about what we expect this year.
Oh, thrills and chills and adrenaline rushes and a wild time. As always, you know, we'll have a full field of cars. The Governor's Cup draws racers that might not necessarily come run during the course of the year. They come from out of state, some of them, and, you know, it brings a big crowd. It's the Governor's Cup. The Governor's Cup has come back in prestige over the last few years, and I think you're seeing more and more people want to come run that that race.
Hey, Terry, I got to ask you, will the election that we had today have any effect on anything when it comes to the Governor's Cup?
Well, we do carry race reports here, and although it's completely and highly unofficial, we're calling this race for Christ, for Governor.
Oh, you know. Well, you know, I can tell you that the 18th was clear on his calendar. Now, that doesn't mean that when the election is over tonight and he is the governor-elect of Florida, that doesn't mean it'll stay clear. Once they get that title, a lot of things start to happen. So we've got several invitations out to a couple of people, and we'll see what happens tonight, because, you know, some of them are involved in tonight's events.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool to have somebody drop by and say hi, no matter who they are. Because over the years now, remind people, you've had some really nice folks take the time to leave their offices and come down and say hi.
Well, we have. You know, Governor Bush was down in O-1, and we've had Commissioner of Agriculture, Charlie Bonson, down. We've had CFO of the state, Tom Gallagher, was down. Tom Feeney, who is a congressman from our district, he was there when he was still in the House. So, you know, we've had a number of people from Tallahassee and around come visit us at New Smyrna.
Well, Al, I was wondering also, when it comes to past champions of this race, it often brings many of them back, so to speak, and it looks like the list is starting to grow for this one. Toss out some of the names that you know will be there and some of the folks that people will really want to come see.
Well, let's talk about Mr. Excitement himself, Jimmy Cope, and a new car. Jimmy will be there. James Powell III will be there. Mike Fritz will be there. Timmy Russell. Timmy hadn't won the Governor's Cup, but he won the Clyde Hart in July. He'll be there. Joe Choquette. You know, it's just who's who. David Rogers will be there. Wayne Anderson will be there. Jeff Schofield. Mike Brosnan. You know, Mike's always tough. And the list goes on and on. Jerry Artuso will be in from Canada.
You also got the big truck race coming up, Terry.
We have the big truck race at the end of the year, the 25th, the Florida State Championship. That's a 100-lap race, and that'll end the Fast Car Pro Truck Series for the year.
Now, Terry, the promoters meeting we had not too long ago, and the acquiring of the three series, how is that going to affect your job?
Well, someone acquired the three series, and that's all I'll say on it.
what was Terry.
That?
What did he say?
Yeah, he's
tell Jack what you just said when I asked you a question.
Fifth, basically.
Oh, he was pleading the fifth.
I said someone acquired the three series.
Oh, okay.
That's all
you.
I said. I didn't say the Fast Car. Yeah, I said someone acquired.
I get to ask the question then, because I'll be a little more direct. Apparently, when that happened, it happened so fast. Was it something that the entire Fast Car organization knew about, or was it done strictly as a preventative measure to help maintain the profile and the, I mean, you're going to have now six or seven traveling series, so to speak, under the umbrella. Is that one of the things that was done for so quickly?
I think that you probably got that answer last week, didn't you?
Well, it seemed like it, but I was sure that it was more people in Fast Car than one.
So that's why I figured maybe you'd give us the entire. We'll leave it at that. I got the message. Terry, I got to ask you.
Bill, go ahead. Ask him some more questions, Bill.
You're not going to get any answers.
So far, I'm not getting any answers. I got to ask you one about the governor's
comment. I've gotten good at saying no comment and thank you very much. You know that.
Are you running for office next year, Terry?
No comment and thank you very much.
A lot of people don't know.
He's been hanging around the Italians too long.
If they're in or around asphalt late model racing, they don't know about the Bright House deal because everybody's seen that. But a lot of people still haven't caught on to the Radio Disney deal. Can you explain that a little better for our listeners now? Maybe
well,
give them a little more insight.
Yes, you know, we partnered with Radio Disney this year, and Radio Disney has, you know, brings a lot of things to us, and you know, I hope we take a few things to them. And the crux of the deal is that we are partnered with them on their 5 radio stations in the state of Florida. Over the next year, you will hear promotions for New Smyrna Speedway on those. We get to use the name Disney in all of our marketing materials, Radio Disney. We are anywhere they do a promotion. We have a presence there. But I guess a couple of things that are really important that were important to us. Several years ago, the state legislature mandated that the schools in Florida teach character building traits in the school. The schools at that time were, and some of them still are not equipped to do that. Along came Disney with this program where they go in and do that, and to the elementary schools and to the kids. And one of the things that we're involved is a sponsor. New Smyrna Speedway is a sponsor of that program going into 300 and something schools in Central Florida. So that's a huge thing for us. I mean, we're getting to a kids market. And I think last week when you had Harry Commander on and he referred to about going to new markets and developing new markets and going to the young market, that's exactly what we're doing.
Is it? You think Radio Disney will actually help drive some new young market in the direction?
Well,
of
let me put it this way: the first promotion that we were involved with, in addition to that, we'll do 2 promotions at the racetrack next year with them, where they'll come out and bring their high energy show and for kids. But we were involved with one of them on Labor Day weekend here in New Smyrna. We had over 3,000 kids to that event. Okay, 3,000 kids. How many parents were there?
6,000.
Okay. Now, where are your new race fans going to come from?
Oh, I understand. And that's one of the things I was thinking when you talked about Radio Disney some month or so back with us, that young kids like to listen to it. I've got a few that like to listen to it when they get the opportunity. And that means that the parents have to listen to it, too. So they'll hear about the racing and so forth. And maybe that will help drive the entire family that way. And that's going to be awesome.
Well, it does, you know, and you know, we've made this morning, we have made a commitment, and that's the family market that we're going after. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about racing and racing. Well, you know, racing's important, no doubt about it, but we're also we're in the entertainment business, and we have to bring people these tracks. We do it with racing. We do it with a lot of things that a lot of people don't like, but a lot of people do like, and we need to get those people to the racetrack, you know. I'm no big fan of Crash-O-Ramas, but you know what? Crash-O-Ramas bring people to the racetrack. Not necessarily racing fans, but they bring people. Several years ago, we did a promotion at Crash-O-Rama in June, and we gave everybody that came to that Crash-O-Rama a ticket to come back free to a race that year. One of the biggest ticket promotions that we've ever done, and we got more returns on those tickets than we did on anything else we've ever done over the course. So, you know, it's important to get these people out, whether they, you know, for whatever reason, you need to get them to come to the racetrack. You know, I happen to live in an area, we happen to be in an area that the Speedway's in that's highly influenced by tourists and people coming in. I can tell you when we are in an off-season in New Smyrna's market, when now is the off-season for us. You know, we see that. So we have to do other things to get these local people here to come out and support us, too.
Yeah, Terry, when the Governor's Cup comes together on the 18th, this is a 200-lap race, half-mile racetrack, paying $10,000 to win this year, correct? Is that right?
Correct. $10,000 to win.
And there's going to be some extras.
Jack's writing a check.
Huh?
Huh?
What did he say?
Go ahead.
Said you're writing a check.
He got the wrong name because you ain't got a checkbook.
Yeah, Bill takes care of our finances.
Oh, okay.
Tell everybody that.
There's going to be extra bonus lap money.
There's lap money, and we've got laps for sale, and anyone wanting to buy a lap need to call our office, and if they get a hold of Liz in the office, extension 301, she has the lap chart. We can take care of that. This year, the lap money is going to be paid out a little different. $50 will go to, it's $100 a lap, 50 of which will go to the leader. The other 50 will be split, down through, position, 21.
That's cool. And, then the week after the Governor's Cup, you also have, hang on just a second. Okay, I'm being surrounded by track owners here. It's scary. Terry, the week after the Governor's Cup, you also have a pretty big race.
We have the 100-lap truck race, the final truck race for the pro trucks this year.
Cool. Yeah. All of those will be pretty cool. We'll probably get him back and check out
what track owners you got there.
Well, I got John Chappercone sitting on my left with a knife
That's
in his hand.
I
got Leroy Davidson sitting
John
on my right.
Sat down. And it made him real
so
he stopped talking almost.
They both got
We
nice.
Appreciate your time, though,
and the video and the video camera's running, Terry. Hey, Terry, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Next week for our Tuesday night adventure here, we're going to probably have you back to get a catch-up on the Governor's Cup, and we're also going to have a couple of guests who have direct knowledge, having won the Governor's Cup. We're going to talk about what that race means for these guys, because I've seen them stand in the winner's circle with tears in their eyes, and it's a pretty emotional event for a lot of fellows.
Absolutely, oh yeah, it's Jimmy Cope told me one day we were talking, and he said it's not about the money, it's about the cup, and I think that's what. It's the history that and the prestige that goes with this race, and it's about getting your name on that cup.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, it reminds me of Bill Posey, State Senator Bill Posey, was standing next to me one day at the pre-race festivities a few years ago at one of the Governor's Cup events, and he looked at me and he said, I've accomplished just about everything I ever wanted to accomplish in my life except one thing, putting my name on that trophy.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you soon, Terry.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Terry Roberts, ladies and gentlemen, News of Ernest Speedway. Go by, check it out. Listen up on Radio Disney, and you will hear things about racing that you haven't heard before. We'll be right back with more Real Racing USA after these messages.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
McCain.
Gallagher Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078. Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Real Racing USA. That music is not just offhand. That is an introduction to our next guest. He is the man who has made it happen for how many years? 20 years.
Talking to the microphone.
He's been in racing for 20 years. How long have you been working the track? We ain't told nobody who you are yet, so good.
Yeah, we started working track in 1987.
So. Ladies and gentlemen, with us now, Bad Leroy Davidson, the man himself, the myth. Everybody thought, you know, there were people that thought you did not exist, that people thought somebody was running the track second-handedly and just using that name, and there wasn't no such thing as a Leroy Davidson. They'd never seen you, they said.
I hide out sometimes, so right now you probably might think that.
Well, I tell you what now, you've had some exciting things happen to the track, but the one thing I want to ask you about first is a policy that I've seen several times since I've been to this, down that way to Charlotte County, and seen incidents on the track happen, and guys get a little PO'd at each other, and they start doing crazy things, ramming cars into other cars. I remember the four-cylinders did it really bad on the front stretch one night, and other things. They'll get out and they'll fight and so forth. And you have a policy about that where it's kind of like hands off, let them go. If it's happening inside the track, let it go until they finally get tired, and then we'll just talk to them later about it. Is that something you do on purpose?
Yeah, we do that. Over the period of years, what I've seen is I used to go down on the track and try to break them up, and then I have all my track officials, the sheriff department, so forth, and it seems like the more you go down there and get involved, the more they fight, and the pit crews fight. So for a lot of years, I just stay up in the tower, and I look down on the track, and I kind of, like, oversee the fight, and I tell them what to do, and then I get to a certain point, I'll just tell the flagman and the announcer to go ahead and start the next race, and usually within a few minutes, it just breaks up and goes away because the attention ain't on them. So what I do now is I just, when I do the driver's meeting, I don't do them all the time anymore, but when I do the driver's meeting, that's one of the things I do is I just tell them, you know, look, if there's any fighting going on, you're going to do it on the track. And what you're going to do is no pit crews, nobody else is allowed. It's just you two. So if you guys go out there and you got a problem with each other, you can either chase each other around in your cars and get out and beat the crap out of each other. And so we have that happen once in a while. And the people in the grandstands really,
oh,
you
know, yeah,
they really get into that.
A lot of people come back, I'm sure, to watch the fight.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Bill Hunt, you got one of them album covers? Yeah, bring me one of them album covers if you get a chance here.
Because it's pretty interesting.
It's inspirational.
And
inspirational.
Oh, it's inspirational.
Things like that. Rick,
take a look at this now. If we were on TV, check it out.
Here's one of Bill's...
one of the fights.
Bill Hunt sells videos down at Charlotte County Speedway.
Yeah, those two
that's
guys
a classic.
Had no shirts. They put
their shirts off
and fisticuffs.
All that.
That's real. What's the story behind that? Yeah, that's real.
That's real.
So what's the story behind that, Leroy?
We were telling that. It's like
that story?
Yeah.
I walked in the middle of it again.
Yeah, you got in the middle of it. You got to stay here all the whole night if you want to get involved into this show.
Yeah, tell him, Leroy. tell him, Leroy.
Okay, well, I'm out of here again.
When you retire, Leroy, we'll put you in charge because I'll tell you what.
Now, over the years of racing and then getting into the track business, so to speak, is that where you gain some of these insights that some people are thinking, will think that you think outside the box, so to speak, in that issue in particular, but other things that you do, are those just things you saw done by somebody by chance somewhere when you went there to visit and you think it's a good idea and so you do it?
Well, I used to subscribe to all the magazines around the country. A lot of my ideas came from California and up in West Virginia and the hillbilly states. And I used to always keep an eye on, like, the train race, for example. Clear back in the 90s, when we done that, nobody here had ever heard it. And we just took the three cars together. Everybody pretty much knows what that is now. And what we've done is just copied off of everybody. It's like, everything I do, I mean, I don't think I invent anything. I just, you know, I see somebody else do it, and I pick it up.
So you're saying basically you just go around and snatch other people's ideas?
Yeah, I steal their ideas. I'm a thief.
When was the first time you ran school bus races, and where did you see it to get that idea?
Well, I was always going to run the school bus races, but our track had the infield. We had the infield on the inside where they pitted, and when I moved that out, it took a little bit of time, but finally I put the figure eight in, and I guess Frank and Bonnie at Sunshine was the main reason why I pushed it a little farther the one year I did, because they told me if I put a figure eight track there, I would make all my money back once, and it would be an overnight hit. But the thing that I was always careful of watching is what's popular somewhere else and what is going and working for a long time somewhere. Sometimes it starts dying out, and I kind of like got stuck on that one because I put a lot of money on the figure eight, and Florida had so many figure eight tracks it kind of burnt people out. So when I got mine going, it wasn't an overnight hit. We do well on it, but we don't do, like, you know, DeSoto, when they have one, they do 10 times better than we do. But I just haven't been able to make that one work at my track.
Well, one of the other things you brought on board, too, now is you also have go-kart racing at the track. Because I've seen the...
We have a road course right now we're working on. We're starting to just get pretty good on that. We have a school there. We have quite a bit of stuff going on for go-karts.
What are some of the other things you got coming up in the next few months or over the winter? What's one of the things maybe you're doing to the track to get prepared for 2007?
Well, next year we got a demolition derby, and then the week after we got the school bus race, like you were saying. And then New Year's Eve is one of our big things we're doing. We do the New Year's Eve of Destruction, and then we do the Hangover 250. And
we've been there, done that.
We've done that for since 1991. The first race we had 224 cars there, and it was a hit then. That was one of the things that was new. Nobody had done it, and we did. And then the other track started doing it, and Ocala. We paid $5,000 to win, and we had 224 cars, and Ocala done it, and they paid $20,000 to win. I paid 20 places back. He paid $20,000, winner take all. That didn't work only but 2 years, and then he dropped it down to 10. And then other tracks started doing it. And they got. We had a policy with all the tracks that started the Enduros is we made a deal that we would all have the same identical rules, same tires and everything. It worked. Then everybody went off onto their own and made different rules, and now it's not like it used to be. It's pretty much like everything in Florida is. You know, you gotta get a system, and you gotta get everybody to work together on it.
Well, I came down and stayed in the hotel one New Year's Eve and stuff, and stayed the entire night, did the races the night before and the day after, and I thought it was awesome. I mean, I realized we only started probably 34, 35 cars that year, but it was still pretty cool, and a lot of guys had a great time, and a lot of fans and families spent the entire evenings together, so to speak, and it was really a great party to go racing at.
Yeah, well, New Year's Eve is really the start of it. We do the Eve of Destruction, and we have 10 races that we've kind of stole off other people. I did invent a couple of them. The ones that didn't work is the ones I invented. But I've taken things around the country that worked, and I made them work. Sometimes they didn't work here in Florida, and I just kind of worked on them to make it work in our area because different parts of the country, they do different things different, and they're more accepted. So,
well, what do you think when you hear other promoters in other parts of the country that get on, even on the air with us? I think we've had one recently that said, well, you know, you can do all those goofy things, race boats and buses and so forth, but if you just give them week in, week out, really good stock car racing, you'll bring the fans.
Well, I've tried all different kind of ways, and I'm trying to bring the stock cars in there by themselves. It just don't seem to bring the crowds last week we had a faster pasture race, and we had standing room only almost. I mean, there's a few seats left, but...
And that you did a pretty good thing with, because you raised a lot of money for the churches.
Yeah, we raised... the churches get... We sell the tickets for $15, and we give the church $7. $1 of it goes to the purse. We split that even with all the pastors, and then we get the other $7 for what they sell. They raised... I think they was over $11,000 or $12,000 that the church raised last week, and they were all people that don't come to our tracks anyway. I like what Terry said a little bit ago in New Smyrna. There is, when they came to the Governor's Cup, I believe it was just talking about, they give everybody a free ticket that was there that night. I wish I would have heard that last week, because I would have done the same thing. Just another thing I would have stole off somebody.
There you go. Well,
yeah, because they brought their buses in.
Yeah, I started to say, there was a Baptist church brought a whole entire bus from their church. I guess everybody parks at the church and then rides in the bus. That's pretty cool. And you can be with them.
Who said that about the stock car, bringing in stock car racing week after week would bring it?
I don't remember who it was. We were talking to them, I thought, maybe off the air, but somebody had said that you just give them week in, week out, you give them good stock car racing, they will come.
It must have been a dirt track.
It was up north.
Had to be a dirt track.
It was one of the guys up north.
Probably Howie.
Yeah.
Or it may very well have been.
I think it was Howie.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it was a dirt track. Probably sounds like a dirt track.
Yeah. Well, how many classes you got that run for just trophies? Take your time.
The only class that we have for trophies is our four-cylinder kid class. The rest of them, they get paid.
There you go.
So, Leroy,
I was wondering, because Howie Commander's running everybody for trophies up there.
Leroy?
Half of them.
Do you ever regret having dug up that dirt down there and made a track? Putting a track down there. Do you ever regret doing this?
He rolled his eyes.
Well,
he's rolling his eyes because it's stupid.
I don't know what dirt. I don't know what asphalt racing is. I guess I've never raced it, and I didn't understand it. But when I was building the track, I couldn't imagine having an asphalt track. And what I done was, I got into October of 1989. No, actually, it was 90. It was in October of 90 because we opened up and we had one race in December of 90. We had a lot of people that was telling me if I'd put asphalt on it, they would help invest. And at the time, I had been almost 100% of the work there was done by me personally, and I didn't borrow no money. I just built what I could.
It started out as dirt?
Started out as a dirt track. We had our pre-grand opening. We had a dirt track out there, and we had the city... the trolleys. There was three trolleys up in Punta Gorda. They came out and they were racing around here. They were clear full of people from town, and they were racing around, and they got out of hand. But anyway, it was sand. It wasn't.
So your first race was.
We had to go out there.
There's not a lot to do in Punta Gorda in those days.
Yeah. But anyway, it was pretty neat, and everybody liked it. It was sand though. But there was quite a few people there that day, and we had some investors that were there looking around, and they said, "Hey, if you put asphalt on that." I was having trouble. I was broke, and they said, if you put asphalt on it, we'll put some money in it. So I said, well, I'm not going to get it finished for another year if I don't. So in October the 31st, on that pre-grand opening, I made some deals, and the next day I called an asphalt company, and we had our first race December the 14th.
Now, a lot
we
of
didn't
people...
have, at that time, we had no bleachers, we had no track, we had no walls, and in 2 months... By going to asphalt, I was able to do what I'd done and open it up.
Well, see, this guy's a politician, too. I asked him if he had ever regretted doing this, and he gives me this long, long answer. He didn't answer my question. Do you ever regret having built a track down there?
Okay, that part of the question is I would like to have a race there with dirt on it when we get down towards the end of our lease, but I don't regret, to answer your question, I don't regret it because... I've always run dirt tracks, and I helped get them ready. And you have to buy water trucks. You have to get graders. You have to go out on Wednesday and start preparing the track. And, I mean, if it's on a race day, you got to stop the races. And sometimes you might even get started 2 hours late because the track's not properly prepared because it takes a lot of work to do dirt, especially down here in Florida. And so, no, I don't regret it. It made my job easier to do this track the way we did it with asphalt.
Let me ask you a question. Is there any significance to your watch?
As far as being Mickey Mouse, is that what you're getting at? Well, I tried to call my racetrack a Mickey Mouse Speedway because that's what I heard it was.
But
then I guess Disney World got involved.
You got to visit. I'm sure you got to visit.
But I was just going to say though, there's been a, over the years, they've come and they've gone. There's been several people attack the way you handle the track over the years. Want to take it away, do all the things they want to do to it. But I, often when I'm sitting and just talking to you, I get a sense that there's a lot of pride and effort that you put into what you do, even if you're doing it and you think Mickey Mouse sometimes. But I don't understand why everything in the southern part of the state seems to be sold off to something else and there's no racetracks left down there. I mean, it's just, I guess the property's getting to be that expensive and so forth.
Well, it seems like it's that way. Like at the airport where we're at, our lease is up. We got 18 months, and they're telling me that we're getting squeezed out. There's no more fair market value.
Them cows are eating 30,000 an acre grass.
I went to the airport last weekend. Gary told me that he figured it up. Our property, which is 21 acres, he said is worth $40 million compared to land down the road that's for sale. This was leased land. And I told him, I said, can you calculate that up for me? Because I'm not too smart. So he got on his little calculator and he figured it up. He said, okay, that comes out to $400,000 a year. Divide that into 12, comes to $33,333.33 per month. And that's what they're going to start the bid at probably next month. So I'm going. But he asked me what I was going to bid on it, and I said,
yeah,
well, I'm.
And you've told me once, I believe it was in the somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 a month was what you were already having to pay as a lease, so to speak, and that's going to be an astronomical number for anybody that steps up and wants to try to make that into, you know, a viable motorsports park or anything else.
Well, we pay $5,400 a month. It's not really a secret. That's including tax right now. I run 8 months a year, and that's about all I can pay. So I told him what I was going to bid was probably about $3,000 plus taxes, and he said, well, that's going down. And I said, well, you know, that's what I think it's worth. And actually, we got our taxes today, and my taxes went down about $4,000, wasn't it? About $4,000 now. We've never paid this low of taxes on property, so that means to me that maybe the property value is going down.
There you go.
And I told him a long time ago I'll wait till the time comes, because he wanted me to do a contract after the storm. And I said, you know, I don't think this property value is going to be worth as much then, and I may only offer you $1,000 a month. So, you know, we got a lot of different arguments on the airport property, because I'm the last one in 1987 to have built anything on Charlotte County Airport property. So I don't see where we're getting squeezed out or where we're going to get squeezed out.
There's still nothing new in the last year or two?
There's absolutely nothing new in the industrial part of the airport. There is at the airport, the hangars and so forth. And all the land around the airport that's being developed is for sale, not rent. So you got your choice. You can either go buy a piece of property across the street or get a lease. The other part about this story is they're showing the people in Charlotte County, if you go out there and get a 20-year lease and you build a business in Charlotte County Airport property, that when your lease is up, they're going to find somebody, if you're successful, they're going to find somebody that will take over your business and pay more money than you are and tell you you're done. And that's what they're telling me right now is it's my stuff. I own everything. I own the incorporation, and I got to bid the same thing that John would have to bid on my property. If I go bid on his property, I have to bid cheaper. But if he bids on mine, I have to bid the same thing. But I don't think it's right that they do that, and that's what the battle is going
to
be about.
Well, that brings me to my one question I wanted to make sure I snuck in tonight, and that was after the storm rolled through 2 years ago, why? Tell us really and truly, why did you go to all the trouble you did to rebuild that place?
We got a fairly decent insurance check. When some of the other shareholders was there and I was gone for a few years, they dropped all the insurance on the lights. They dropped the insurance on the tower. Actually, we didn't have a whole lot of insurance, things that were insured. So the things that were insured, we had collected a check, and my sister and I was going to not rebuild the track because there wasn't enough to buy anything new, and we had no way of getting new stuff. So what happened was is we started telling people we were just going to stay closed, and we started getting calls from fans and spectators and lots and lots of people. And so they were saying, you know, you and your sister can take this insurance money and leave and, you know, spend the money on your personal stuff, but where does that leave us? We've built cars for your racetrack. We come out there every Saturday night. The spectators, they were saying, You know, we come up from Naples to race at your speedway, and now what are we going to do? You know, we can't afford to go from Naples to DeSoto, so we're going to have to quit. And so I got kind of like thinking about it. It's like, you know, it is, that track right there brings a lot of stuff into the people. So what I'm going to do, I went over to my sister's and I told her, she, me and her owns the track together, and I asked her, I said, should we take this money and leave or and take all this stuff away from the spectators and the drivers, or should we open it back up? I went to the airport and I asked them, you know, we only got 3 years left on the lease, and why should I rebuild it? And they said, well, we'll give you another 10 or 12 years. And I said, okay, we can do that. So I went and talked to my sister. Frank and Bonnie from Sunshine Speedway called me, and they says their track is getting shut down, and they said that they would really give me everything they got there. I just buy everything and take whatever I want. So I did that. So we rebuilt it for that reason. And then just as soon as I started rebuilding it, the airport realized I wasn't going to leave. And so what they done is tell me, okay, we're going back to the 3 years, and then when that, we'll renegotiate. And I says, well, the only reason I done this is I got 10 more years. So, you know, that's pretty much what happened on that deal.
So, Bill, why don't we take a break and then come back and talk about some of the issues around the state and the Florida, what's affecting Florida racing.
Oh, no problem. We can do that, and we appreciate the insight Leroy's given us to Charlotte County Speedway. But we'll be back right after this. Don't go far, folks. Real Racing USA.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. And it's a unique disease. It's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair. But in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run a mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th, and it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA.
As opposed to America.
America been very, very good.
I've gone to Charlotte County several times, of course, with the Fast Truck program, and I've gone down to help Leroy out when he's had somebody missing or somebody quit or didn't decide to go on. They actually changed shifts, I think, on his job.
Fired somebody.
And he couldn't. Well, he's done that a few times, too.
But and I've enjoyed it. I mean, the people are great. They, I mean, some of them probably do drive quite a long ways to come because there's no other track in the neighborhood when you go south of there. I mean, gee whiz, you got to come out of Fort Myers or somewhere down there. Where are you going to go racing if you don't?
There's just like every other track in this state. It's got its parishioners.
That's it.
It's regular
parishioners.
Yeah, the regulars. You know,
how many people do you
the
get,
righteous?
How many people do you get showing up even when it's kind of drizzling rain and they know it's probably going to maybe race, but they'll still come anyway and hang out in the rain with you?
You're talking about the spectators.
Yeah, spectators.
Employers. Spectators. Probably 600-700.
It's
no crazy. Matter what the weather's like, I don't care what.
Same with
the
700 people.
Everywhere in Florida, about 600 or 700 people just show up in the rain.
So, Leroy, serious business now. How bad do you dislike traveling series?
There's certain traveling series that I agree with, like you should have the wing sprint cars because we don't run them on a weekly basis. You should have the TQ midgets because he's here. And you should have the dwarf
politics.
Actually, I'll put it this way. I think you should have any traveling series that wants to be a traveling series that don't run on a weekly base at any track at all. Anybody that, like, say you have a street stock traveling series, you have a mini stock traveling series, you have something that we run on a weekly basis, you're stealing cars. If it's a traveling series, you're stealing possibly 4 or 5 cars minimum from each track.
If there wasn't a traveling late model series or any in the state, would you run late models every week?
No. I would not run super late models on every week. If I was up in Inverness or Ocala, I probably would. But down where we're at, that's not a late model, super late model territory anymore. It used to be. We used to run them every week. And with the series coming in, I quit doing that, and that's when I had put together a package to change our sportsman to limited late models. And that's the reason why, is because it wasn't a traveling series. Shortly after that, there became a traveling series on that also. And but what happens is we got to take back our short tracks again. What we got to do is we got to figure out, not one of us, we all got to do it. We got to get rid of the traveling series. As I told Bobby Deal the other week, it wasn't the other week, it was the other month, we had a guy come in, he wanted to start a street stock series. He came down at my track, and he wanted to come along with the fast trucks. He brought 4 street stocks from Arbondale. I brought 13. I bought 13 because we had 17 cars. His purse that he guaranteed I was going to pay for him, plus I paid his insurance like I do all the other traveling series, came to $4,800. He brought 4 cars. I might as well have had my own show. The same thing with...
Why did you even agree to that, though?
Well, I was told how many cars he was going to bring. It was the first one he had done. But I told him I was not for it, but I would do one and would go from there. I told another guy, I told Bobby Deal, the next one they're going to do is they're going to try to do a Road Warrior or a Bomber class. And I'll be darned if...
Dan's
okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, I'll be darned if a guy from St. Peter's called me a week later after I told him that he wanted to start a bomber's class. Everybody in Florida's calling me, telling me to start this.
Who's going
to... excuse me, Bill. We have to interrupt the show for an off-the-street interview here. We've cornered another track owner, and we're going to ask him a question here. John Saffer, calling you a track owner at DeSoto Speedway. Why is it that you hate traveling series so much?
Oh, that was good. It's not that I hate. It's not that I hate.
America has made my fortune. I believe in America.
Free opportunity. Here's the deal with the traveling series. I think, you know, when you get a street stock, a Florida mini stock, an open wheel modified classes, and what they kind of do is they take your everyday racers that race at your racetrack, and because they get mad at me or Leroy or somebody else, well, I'm going to go run this series until they get pissed off over there. So they get pissed off over there, they come back to us. And like Leroy says, we pay the rent, we pay the mortgage, we pay the taxes, we pay the insurance, the help, the lights. And when they come in, I got to pay them $5,000, and they close their suitcase and they leave for the night. They have no worries. I don't get any tires, and I don't get any entry fees. It's not fair to the track owner. We're hurting our own selves.
You heard it here on Short Track America's Real Racing USA.
Leroy, is that the way you feel about the same situation?
That's exactly the same way. I mean, it even gets in deeper than that. But, you know, like...
How deep?
Like, just say, for instance, if it's a cloudy night, we've done the advertisement, we paid the insurance, we got all of our help in there. If it rains, we got to pay the help at least half pay. We pay at our track anyway. John probably don't pay that much. He probably makes them pay him. But
we were going so good.
We were on the right path. We were getting that hatchet out to bury.
Actually, I'm starting to nod off to that comment.
I think that we're still doing the right thing. But what I say is, if it's raining out, it's a bad night. We got 200 people in the grandstands, and one of the series people says, you know, this report is it's going to clear up, and we go along with that, and it's a $10,000-$12,000 purse, and they talk us into it, and I have been stupid enough to do that because I thought it was going to clear up myself. And there's nobody in the grandstands, and they say, we're going to work together. Just as soon as the race is over, they come up and collect their $12,000, and then they argue, and then the drivers are mad if we don't. Well, I've never not paid them. But you're responsible for that purse. These series that come in, some of them, I got one guy that comes into our track on a series that I know, I figured it up, he takes home between $6,000 and $7,000 every time he has a race at our racetrack.
Any names?
No. I ain't got any names. You can figure it out who it is. But
well, I guess that'll pass off the air.
It don't make any difference, you know. He's got his series. He has no property, and he has no nothing to lose.
Why do we do it?
Huh?
Why do we do it?
Well, I've done it. If you want to know the reason why I do it, or you do it.
No, I'm just.
I don't
saying,
know why
do
you do it, but I tell you
why
I do it.
I don't do it.
The reason I do it is I never had that problem until Charlie came at my racetrack and knocked it down. Our cars and our drivers has lost their homes down in our area and down in Naples. They put their houses back together before they rebuilt cars. So my car counts is now the worst in the state. My grandstands is probably one of the best in the states, and I don't know why we get people coming in the grandstands other than the fact we got classes with three car trucks on them. And how long will people come to see that? They won't. I use traveling series now because I have no cars, and it cost me a fortune. I lose money. I don't know. Last week I made money. When I have our own classes without a high-dollar thing coming in, I lose money every time. But I have to keep the fans there until we can get cars built back up, not only from Charlie. Now we got the airport lease coming up.
And that's all on their minds.
On the Internet today, I've seen three posts on there that says, we got these cars, but why should we rebuild them until we find out about the lease? So I'm getting hit double from other people. But
it is true. You know, you can't underestimate the damage, the amount of just horrifying destruction that Charlie did to people's lives.
Oh, yeah, it's definite. But to come in and take care of a business that's taken care of you for so long, it seems like the airport would have extended a little bit more of a branch, olive branch there, and tried to make it so that, you know, Leroy may not have been able to pay the 54. Maybe it would bump up a little bit, but it'd still make it to where it was possible for everybody.
Well, they're struggling too. They're struggling too from their perspective.
Sure, they're building hangars and doing things that they don't have money to do. So.
The other part of that story is too is I guess I look at things different than other people, but I research what's going on the airport. I go over there and they tell me they got this guy. They got 13 people looking at wanting to take my lease over. 13, two of them's already died. They don't even know it yet. They got down to 11. Some other people goes in there, and a guy's got a go-kart series. He thinks he can outdo me on rent. He can't even pay me right now $500 a week. How's he going to pay $30,000 a month? The airport is full because everybody tells the airport how valuable this land by the I-75 and what they could do if they had it. So now the airport told me, why don't you start a paintball thing where they're going to shoot paintballs at each other? Why don't you do a go-kart? Why don't you do a sports bar? They've got all these ideas, a drag strip. How are you going to put all that on 22 acres? And if you rent more land, that's another $50,000 to $100,000. So we got a lot of things working against the airport. People making the airport think that thing is valuable.
Okay, well, you know, that's we'll get back on that airport. Let's get take off of that again and go look at the issues around the state of Florida. Now, you've been involved with this for the better part of 15, 16 years. How do you see where we are with promotion and car counts statewide, not just with your situation, but, you know, in the big picture? I mean, you talk to the other promoters and other owners and stuff. Well, how do you see where we're going, and what do we need to fix the key problems that we have?
We were having some meetings with promoters and Traveling Series is trying to sort out what was going on. The promoters don't want to talk in front of the Traveling Series, and the Traveling Series don't want to talk in front of the promoters. So we're going to break it up, and we're just going to do promoters and have some with both of them. What I see happen, what I learned from them meetings is we have to take and control who's going to start a series. If it's a series that we run on a weekly basis, all the tracks need to not support that series, and it'll go away. If we get back our regular classes, coming back to our tracks, our car counts will come up. If we don't, we might as well just turn all of our tracks into a Traveling Series racetrack and forget about it, because we're not going to have any cars left. And it's not only in Florida. We're not the only ones in trouble. The whole country, there's some dirt tracks that I see is extremely well, but for the most part, there's no car counts anywhere.
Well, for the guys that are like, I know at least a dozen people that I just happen to know personally that, you know, 35, 40-year-old guys that have raced for a long time, and they don't race so much now, or they don't race at all. Their cars are parked, and they always, and what they tell me is they just can't afford, they can't take that money and spend it on the race cars because it's too expensive. You know, they're not going to go spend $8,000 to $10,000 on a motor to run in a class that pays.
They're probably absolutely right about that, and they're not lying to you about that.
Yeah, but especially in Port Charlotte area, there'll be guys that had to sell racing equipment to help take care of fixing that house or put it back. And
well, I'll tell you the answer to that too. I don't want. Go ahead, John. I didn't
no,
mean
go
that
ahead.
Up here. Now you're getting me a little bit upset now, because this is what really upsets me the most is I had a guy come.
We're doing
down.
Our job, Leroy. We're
okay,
doing our
I,
job.
You do a good job too. What I had an argument with a guy that came down the other day with this great big semi. I asked him what he paid. Well, first of all, he says, "You don't have any place for me to park. I ain't coming back here no more."
We stood in awe of that driving in the gate.
Trust me,
because we were already through the
That's
driver's
obscene.
Meeting and so forth.
That's obscene. What was that?
That was this weekend.
75-foot hauler, and there's, I mean, that was obscene.
He had the full-blown motor coach, just like Doc Miller used to have. It had to be $225,000.
What was in it?
I think he pulled out a.
It's a modified, wasn't it?
Yeah, open wheel modified or something like that.
It's open wheel modified.
And maybe that's the only trailer he's got. He's got eight different cars plus a cup car. I don't know. But this was just way overdone, and he couldn't get in.
I looked at the results for the modifieds, and there was no cup drivers there.
That's what I'm saying, and it was just huge.
Anyway,
so
go ahead,
Leroy.
And we thought the same thing.
Well, that's what happened there. I mean, it's been happening. I thought about it years ago because I only got like 75-foot pit slabs at the longest, and so we put some. We got a couple places where we can put some of the long ones. Anyway, he continues to tell me, "Well, if you can't provide me a place to park, I ain't coming here no more." I said, "Look, I didn't tell you to bring your motel and your house and everything else." I said,
"Yeah, right.
First of all, what you're doing is you're hurting racing, because now you put this vehicle inside this car with no decals on it. You're driving down the interstate. Nobody even knows what you are. If you put that back on a pickup truck with open trailer, people will say, 'I'm going to follow that guy to the racetrack.'" So he's taken away some of our billboard, traveling billboard on wheels.
It's all free. It's all free advertisement.
Right. So I says, "What you need to do," and then he wrote me a letter. And then he called me on the phone. He's from St. Petersburg, and I ain't going to tell you his name, but he drives a modified, and it's number 18. But anyway, he says, "Okay, I got it all figured out. If you start paying us $400 to start the race, you could let my driver in for free. Quit charging for these kids. Quit charging pit slabs.
Leroy, give him the keys."
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. But anyway, he's telling me all this stuff I should do. And what I told him to do is what you need to do is you need to sell that $500,000 rig and buy an open trailer and a pickup truck. And then we can bring racing back to where it's affordable.
Well, then we say, Bill, we said that would, that guy could have taken that. We were a whole bunch of us in the pits were talking about this. It was the talk of the pits during it. She was there during that time. And it's like we all stopped in awe of this, and we all said, I said, there's 10 street stocks. You know, I mean, it's obscene.
Yeah, now we got our road warriors bringing in cars and closed trailers. I mean, many, we got.
What do you say about that?
Well, my pits, you know, we got these big super rigs that come in and this and that, and they're telling me it's not big. And I said, did I tell you guys to buy these big rigs? I don't understand this. I have to remodel my pits to accommodate their rigs, and you know what? I can't afford to do it.
So basically what you two are saying is basically it's the drivers, car owners that are outpricing racing.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to take back our racetracks. We got to bring racing back to what it was. We got to tell the people, is look, you bring an open trailer and a pickup truck, and I'll give you a $500 bonus if you win the race. That's the only way. Somehow you're going to have to get these people back
like
where they're taking the money out.
They need to get back to the basics of racing. That's what Florida needs. Every racetrack needs.
Well, how do you deal with this? And then the guys who are like David Wilson, who was just here, for instance, he races asphalt. He's got a Hooters car and stuff like that, and he's going to race ASA. So, like, he should bring his other little trailer.
If he's coming to Charlotte County.
To Charlotte County or DeSoto. And
he wants to go to
Lowe's. Why do we need a $500,000 rig when you can put that money into that car, have two cars, and, you know, help yourself instead of trying to intimidate everybody in the pits?
Well, not only that, these two gentlemen sitting here that own these tracks now were racers who drove around, I'm sure, with open trailers. And they...
He drove around them hillbilly states,
I understand,
West Virginia.
But they understand
that.
The same thing...
You weren't delivering, were you, Leroy?
Yeah. They understand the same thing that my father did. He enjoyed that part of racing as much as ever getting on the track. Driving into the local gas station, the KO gas station, and people talking to him about the car or the trailer and what was going on. That was, you know, a big part of his game, and he enjoyed that.
Bill, that's only the tip of the iceberg.
I understand.
You know, it's just the tip. I mean, it goes in a lot deeper and further than what Leroy's talking about, what I'm talking about. And, you know, when people say, you know, you should pay $400 to start and the kids in for free and this for free and that for free. Well, you know what? I can't go to the county and say, you know, I'm going to let all these people in for free tonight. Can you cut my taxes in half? Can you cut my electric in half?
Yeah.
Can you cut my, you know, everybody's got their hand out. So, I mean, you know, you look at us promoters and you're saying, everybody's saying to us, well, they're making all the money. Well, I'll open my books anytime and show people. We're not making all the money.
Bill, now's an appropriate time to give out the number so the guy with the hero with the big super hauler can call us up and tell us why they're wrong.
Well, yeah, that would be really easy if I had it written down.
I got it written.
There you go. Go for it, Rick. What we got there?
Number 18, right?
That's right.
Number 18. Phone number is 941-748-3490. I just don't think we're going to get a call.
748-3490.
Number 18 if you're out
there. Those guys have a big hauler
and you're jacking around a street stock, call us. We want to talk to you.
The other thing that we run into last week, too, and it's a good idea, but I don't know that it's ever working, is if these drivers are telling me, is like, let us in for free, do this and that. There was a thing on our internet today. The guy says, I got it all figured out. If Leroy would only charge $15 to get in the pits instead of $25, and we didn't have to pay no pit slabs, that we could all afford to race, we'd have more cars. So what I think it is, it should go back to the old days again. What we should do is we should get the drivers 40% of the gate, and we'll take 60%. Because I'll tell you what, right now I'm paying 100% of both gates.
I think you should do what Howie Commander does and give them trophies at the lower end of the classes.
Yeah.
Well, that does go back to what Leroy's saying, about 40% of the gate, the front gate.
Let them cut the gate down to $15. Let them give free pit slabs away. Let them do all the stuff like John charges to use the bathroom. But let them do that, and then see if they want to lower the price of the gate down.
When did you retire from the diplomatic corps?
And yet
we took them quarter stalls out.
There's been several tracks go under though.
Why do I only get drilled through the mud?
Just Jason sitting here. I know he's supposed to be hammering with us a little bit. I wanted to get his opinion. Come on down, Jason. I want to ask you his opinion because he's only been around the racing game for maybe what. 6 months? 5 months? Don't get me wrong, he's been to the track, but he's seen the side where we're talking about.
Introduce who we're talking to, Bill.
Just Jason from 92
100.9.
Cat Country 100.
100.1. Sorry. Yeah. I knew it was one of those. Please forgive me. I've been so wrong.
That's all right.
I think Leroy was mid-sentence.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, continue, Leroy.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to throw another one in on John there because people told me a couple years ago.
I could have saved that.
What kind of words can I say on this? I don't know.
Man, you can go.
Say whatever you want, Leroy.
They said that.
Appreciate the F
well,
not going.
But the guy up there in DeSoto is a bigger asshole than you, and that pissed me off because you know what? I don't think he is. I think that I can outdo him on that. That's what our battle is right now, is to figure out which one it is. But, you know, really, and I don't know, it don't make any difference who you like or you dislike, but if the track owners got together, we don't need to split the state in half. Half of the tracks are doing this and half are doing this. If we get together and we decide what we're going
to
do and we all do the same thing,
oh, we'll
crate motors,
right
if we all went to crate motors, there wouldn't be a problem. But only half the people does.
Where I was going with Jason was this. Jason, you've been at the racetrack for years, but you've only been up in the tower now and seen what goes on behind the scenes when it comes to the officiating and things that go on. What's been, has it changed any of your opinion of what's really happening?
Hold on a second real quick, Bill. We got somebody on the phone. I don't know who it is, but he's got the reason why we got to have big trailers. Go ahead, man.
But not necessarily big trailers, but enclosed trailers. I mean, I had an open trailer that I used to run down to Bradenton all the time. And it was nice, you know. You had your car there, everybody asked you, you know. It might have been the highlight of the night, you know, as far as it went. Nowadays, especially if you're traveling and you're going to a race, say you're from Fort Myers and you're going to go up to Bronson. Well, you're not going to drive up there and drive back. You're probably going to stay over someplace. You've got to have some way of securing your property. And you can't have an open trailer and have a $30,000 hot rod sitting back there with a come-along and a tow strap around the back tire. You know, any Tom, Dick, or Harry is going to come around and say, hey, that looks like a nice piece, and I think I'll borrow that.
Well, I understand your point there, but for some of the local guys, I mean, there's 128 cars in the pits at Citrus County on any given weekend night maybe, and I would say that maybe still 50 of those, you know,
there ain't no big haulers.
Yeah, ain't no big haulers.
Well, I completely agree. I mean, if you're pulling 20 minutes, trolleys. Yeah, I mean, if you're pulling from Brooksville and running up to Inverness, and you've got your street stock in there or bomber car, and for whatever reason you decide you need a $15,000 Featherlite enclosed trailer, I mean, that's the person I hope isn't complaining about purses at that point in time.
Well, that's kind of like what I think Leroy's point.
Yeah, so I think you actually agree with the Leroy and John, actually, because basically what they're saying is, like on Saturday night, and you're bringing your modified into or street stock or whatever into Charlotte County where there's not a lot of room back there, that you don't need the six-bedroom motel.
No, I would say not. But, I mean, if you are traveling, and I do travel, It's nice to know that you can go into a motel or, like you do down at Leroy's track, you go down there and unhook your stuff, put your car inside the trailer, put your locks on it, and then go to the motel and then come back the next day and hopefully everything's still in its place. But, I think if you had everything wide open, I'd be a little worried.
Hey, listen, why wouldn't you tell us your name? What's the problem there? I mean,
well, I don't have a problem. No one asked me.
Go for it.
This is Gary Ford.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Gary? Thanks for calling.
Thanks. All right, buddy.
Thanks for calling us. So, Jason,
give me your insight as to now being on the other side of the fence, so to speak, when it comes to what you do.
I don't see a difference.
You don't?
I don't see a difference at all. I mean, I understand what they have to go through up in the tower and the officials and everything else. Everybody can't see everything at the same time. I love racing. I'm a racer at heart. And anybody that comes to the track needs to be a racer. You come there to race, you race. Whether you're coming there to race for money, whether you're coming to race for a trophy, I would prefer the trophy. My family has had round and rounds with Leroy before about what's legal and not legal on our cars and other things, and we got mad. Everybody gets mad, but we turned around the next weekend and trailered our cars up on an open trailer, and we came and raced, and we enjoyed it. And we made it at a point, you know, every 6 months, we set our cars in our backyard with all the trophies we ever won and go, look, I got more of them. And a lot of these drivers nowadays, it's going to their heads. Every single one of them thinks they've got hopes and dreams of going to NASCAR, and that's great. My little brother has hopes and dreams of it, and it's kind of far-fetched, but he's trying. But plain and simple, drivers need to show up and race, and that's what they're there to do. They need to love the sport. And if you don't love the sport and you want to come in here with your $50,000, $60,000 rigs, go right ahead. But don't say a word to us about not being able to park somewhere. You come there to race, man. Plain and simple. You're a racer. You race. Quit crying.
Amen,
if you cheat,
Brother Jason.
If
Amen.
You cheat and you get caught, you so go. What? You cheated, you got caught. Come back and cheat better.
Yeah, trying to throw the roll bar covers out.
Yeah, Robbie Gordon.
But I tell you what, I've been down there for a couple of weeks with Jason, and I enjoy listening to his banter back and forth, and he's really picking up on the racing lingo stuff that they use a lot. But the fans tend to like it when you get a good show, and a good show is all of that together, between the officials and the officiating, the drivers rolling out on the track, ready to go. They spin out, they get their butts going, they get out of the way, they keep the show moving, and between that, the announcer, the concessions being decent and edible, and the bathrooms working, most people are happy to come to the races and see the races a lot more than they would be to sit and watch a three-hour movie epic that, you know, they can't go back and get anything out of.
This three-hour show that we do in 2 hours just goes by way too fast. Chuck Rush, you're a lucky dog. We didn't get time to
get
you tonight.
Chuck
and Ray, you're really lucky. We're going to get you, buddy.
Leroy, real quick, what do you think your chances are of keeping the Speedway?
I think that if everybody would back off that's going in and telling the airport how great that land is and how much it's worth, I think that the lease will continue on at exactly the same price we're paying right now, and I think it'll be there another 20 years. I really feel good about that, and I don't know what's going to happen, though. I spent a lot of money even in the last 3 months bringing everything up to code because I was turned in by somebody that we had a lot of violations there. You know, after the storm, we didn't get everything fixed right. I mean, there's wires hanging down and this and that. But I think that everything is in good shape. I spent the money because I believe it's going to be there forever. I may not be the one to be there, but if somebody else can come in and take it over and pay more than I can, and they want to buy my incorporation off of me and lease the land off them, I'll do everything I can to help. But I think it'll be there forever. And I think that we have the place beside the airport between I-75 that we could be one of the few tracks that won't be getting ate up by a housing development. So we have some possibilities there, good ones.
Well, there you go. You heard it from the man himself.
Thanks for spending the time with us tonight, Leroy.
Really appreciate you having you on
tonight,
Leroy.
Goes by way too fast, and we'll have to have you back again. Bill, what do you got there? Thank you, Mr. Dakota Stevens.
David Wilson. Of course, Leroy Davidson, Terry Roberts, Terry Ford calling in.
Thanks, Patrick Starr, Foley. We'll talk to him next week. Unfortunately, he's stuck in the
another great real racing USA right here at the Snook River Grill.
Take it to the limit, Bill.
Next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m., only on the Short Track America Network.
We'll see you Saturday night live after the races. Take care, everybody.
Good night now. Making time.
one more time.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, from the Snook River Grill, good night, everybody. Have a great week, and we will see you Saturday night.